That song by Joe Jackson, Cancer, from the 1980s, needs an update. Everything, it turns out, at least according to a conversation we had earlier this morning with the American Academy of Pediatrics, has issued new guidelines on chemicals that can cause all kinds of toxic effects on people and need a new updated strategy and regime of regulations. It's a big report out this week from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and we want to keep the conversation going. What are you most afraid of in your under the sink cupboard, in the food items that you eat, in maybe the plastics around you that are off-gassing various molecules into the air? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. We want to continue the conversation with McKay Jenkins, who's a director of journalism at the University of Delaware and author of the book What's Gotten Into Us? Staying Healthy in a Toxic World. McKay Jenkins, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I'm scratching my head here. You know, I talked for a long time with the doctor from the American Academy of Pediatrics earlier this hour, who went chapter and verse through this concern about chemicals in the environment. And, you know, what are we as consumers to make of a call for new regulations, the idea that if we're not sort of preventive here, the chemicals that are proliferating around us, you know, could have serious impacts on pregnant women, children, they particularly focused on?
Well, I think the problem is that we've been using products with these chemicals for about 60 years. Really, you can trace this back to the Second World War, when a lot of these petrochemicals were not only going into the food that we've eaten through fertilizer and things, but also into many, many products. And, you know, the better living through chemistry mantra has been in effect now for about 60 years, and people have loved the convenience of all these things. But we're suddenly starting to realize just how ubiquitous they are. I mean, you see these plastic nurdles showing up in the Pacific Ocean. You find them in every consumer product we have. But what is happening now is that scientists are doing what they call body burden studies, where they're finding out that a lot of the chemicals that go into these products are actually demonstrably in our own bodies. You can take samples of people's blood or their hair or their urine, and you can find everything from flame retardants to phthalates to bisphenol A to mercury and lead, all kinds of things. And it's dawning on us now just how common these chemicals are, not just in the products that we use, but in the chemicals as they break down entering our bodies. So this is becoming a new, very interesting and sort of unsettling branch of science.
So let me play sort of science student 101 here, McKay Jenkins. I mean, if we've been doing this for 60 years and the contamination is clear in all of our tissue and waste products, you know, given the state of health in the United States, which, you know, aside from obesity concerns, is pretty good, don't we have good data that this actually isn't as much of a problem as the American Academy of Pediatrics might be making it out to be?
I would actually say the opposite. I think, you know, the health may, you know, people may be living longer. That's what people often say. But if you look at the amount of cancer, the amount of hormonal problems, you're seeing things like a national epidemic in low sperm density. You're seeing early onset puberty in girls. You're seeing, cancer rates are all over the place. And it's not just that we're living longer, but a lot of people are living longer with cancer, which means they're still getting cancer. They're still getting a lot of these illnesses. So this is not something that we should poo-poo. I think, if anything, the science is becoming increasingly clear that this is something we need to pay more attention to.
As a personal matter, how did you take matters into your own hands?
I went in to a doctor about 6 years ago with what I thought was an injury from running or from cycling, and went in for sort of a routine MRI, and was told that I had an orange-sized tumor in my abdomen, which was rather disconcerting. I had very young children at the time, and as I went through a month's worth of tests and screenings and things, I finally went into a hospital and had this tumor removed. And right before I went into surgery, I was asked this huge, long battery of questions about the chemical exposures that I'd had, and it was really an eye-opening series of questions, because, of course, the chemicals that I was exposed to were not just things you get in an industrial plant. They're things that you come into contact with every day of your life, all of us, everything from flame retardants to stain resistors to, you name it, Teflon chemicals to formaldehyde, all these different things. And it never occurred to me to even ask questions about that stuff.
All right, so that goes directly to what Dr. Jerome Paulson was saying earlier in the program, that the doctors are hip to this in an episodic way when you get an orange-sized tumor in your abdomen, but without a sort of preventive, strategic kind of look ahead, anticipating what's coming down the sort of environmental chain, we can't really make intelligent decisions until after a tumor shows up.
That's correct, and this is one of the big problems. I have quite a few doctors in my circle of friends and family, and none of them have been trained to ask these questions. I mean, think about the last time you went to see a doctor. Did they ever ask you what kinds of chemicals are in your house, and would you even know how to answer? I mean, do you even know what chemicals are in your products? And the answer is probably no, because none of this stuff is labeled. In fact, none of this stuff is even required to be labeled. So even an intelligent consumer cannot make intelligent decisions because they have no information at their fingertips.
But then what's to keep people listening to this conversation from just going, all right, it's impossible. They don't even put it on the label. I can't even find out what's going on. The pediatricians are saying that, you know, my kids are at risk. I want to run away screaming.
Well, I think that's a very common and logical response. But, you know, you think about it, if you think about the history of tobacco, I mean, it took a long time for people to finally get it, that this was not good for them. And once they got it, we started doing some investigating and found out, of course, that the scientists within these companies had known this for a long time. This is not the first time that we've been to this rodeo, and I think we can do a lot better than we are.
Now, am I opening a huge can of worms here to begin to link this discussion to discussions of why is there more autism? Why, in the case of early onset puberty in girls, what could be an environmental factor that actually is a suspect there?
For early onset puberty, is that what you're asking?
Sure.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of the chemicals that go into plastics are what they call endocrine disruptors, and you can find them both in the environment and in our bodies, and you saturate people's bodies with these things that mimic human hormones, and there's a great deal of suspicion that these might be contributing to that sort of problem.
So you're actually thrilled with the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines here.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's not only fantastic for patients who will now start thinking about what goes into their products and maybe asking good questions, like how can I find out more about what goes into my stuff? But I also think it's good for doctors to think about how they might add these kinds of questions to their training and to their routine workup exams.
And one of the most surprising things about this American Academy of Pediatrics report is that industry actually wants some rational regulation here.
Well, I think that's probably right. I would be slightly suspicious of that because what they typically will say is that they want regulation to be at the federal level, and the reason for that is that it's easier to manipulate regulation at the federal level. A lot of these regulations that are happening now are coming from the states because the states can do much more effective work because the lobbying isn't as powerful on the opposite side. So I would be slightly skeptical of industry's thrilled behavior about this.
Skepticism? Well, of course. He's the director of journalism at the University of Delaware and author of What's Gotten Into Us, Staying Healthy in a Toxic World, reacting to the new guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics on a call for an updated regime of regulations for all of the chemicals in our household environments and all around us. McKay Jenkins, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.